Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Not going to have the Mad Dog tomorrow at Home Run Dugout.
We may do it in the parking lot. What do you think?
Parking lot or Monday?
I mean, I probably drank more Mad Dog in parking lots than I did houses anyway.
I mean, hey, do you think we lead, of all four shows that are here, Catch Payne and Pendergast in the morning, In the Loop, with Reggie and the OG and Figgy, Payne and Pendergast, Ben doing it as well on the ones and twos, us, and then Area 45 with Bajani, Creighton, and Chris Santiago. Do you think we lead the station in the boss had to come in between segments?
100%. Without a doubt.
To talk down something we've said or we've come up with?
Yes.
Do you think we lead it?
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
But do you think we lead it because our timing of the show is here when he is always here, or do you think we just lead it?
I think we just lead it.
I think there's probably a few reasons. I think them nighttime guys probably push the envelope a little bit too, but it's nighttime, so they can get away with it. He probably encourages it there.
Yeah.
I think there's certain topics that we hit, and Mad Dog Monday is probably one of them on a weekly basis that boss man cringes a bit.
He can't even say,
just get through it, boys.
Let's not. I would request that we don't take any of the Mad Dog to Home Run Dugout tomorrow. By the way, my man Sean on YouTube and Twitch asks, Home Run Dugout and Katy tomorrow? Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's where we will be, 2-6. Hopefully celebrating and talking about a Texans win as they move to 7-2. And Clint, to me, I'm looking at this dude tomorrow or tonight. And I don't know exactly how we're going to be talking about this dude. I do think he is going to be involved in this game one way or another. I could see it going either way. And that dude I'm talking about that I got my eye on, the guy I'm looking at, I'm challenging, I'm calling out, is Derek Stingley Jr. I know a couple of weeks ago, Clint, his stock was down for you. And last week, again, and I'll be honest, this is something that has occurred for him several times this year where he has just been fortunate that receivers and quarterbacks have not been able to connect on plays that would be big plays that have gotten away from him. A.D. Mitchell, who I thought was going to run his helmet and throw it into the stands on multiple occasions as he beat him on just outside routes, on fade routes to the outside, and Anthony Richardson couldn't connect. Well, that is one of Aaron Rodgers, if not Aaron Rodgers' favorite throw. Doesn't need a lot of protection for that, and he loves to put it up, and him and Devontae Adams have perfected it, and him and Garrett Wilson do it too. They connected multiple times last week against the Patriots. But Derek Stingley has some of the best ball skills of any corner in the league. And you could see, Clint, Aaron Rodgers throwing those up and Derek Stingley coming down with some picks. We've seen him do it. We saw him do it against Chicago with Caleb Williams. We've seen him do it in his time here. But which Derek Stingley are we going to be talking about, or you and Sean going to be talking about after the game, and we're going to be talking about at Home Run Dugout? Is it the Derek Stingley, the good Derek Stingley, the Derek Stingley that you throw a ball near him, he picks it off? Or are we going to be looking at, damn, all right, he got beat, and we've seen him kind of get beat a few times, and this is another example of him getting beat by Aaron Rodgers? Because Aaron is as rough as he's been this year. That particular route, Glenn, as you know, that's one, as you would say, he could throw in his sleep.
Yeah.
And not miss as many times as Anthony Richardson has or others have missed. So Derek Stingley is one that I'm really watching because I think he's going to be heavily involved in this game one way or another.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at the Minnesota,
I'm literally looking up at the TV and I'm seeing
Aaron Duke,
the same route. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just three in a row they have just shown.
Well, I mean, look, you look at the Minnesota game, you look at the Green Bay game, and then the Jets game. I think those are the three games this year, and I may be leaving one off, but look, those are the three games where you got a quarterback that can make it happen. and you got a wide receiver group that's dangerous, that's potent, that can be really, really, really good. Not just, well, this guy's a pretty good player. No, you got a quarterback that's going to take the risk. You got a quarterback that can make all the throws, and you got receivers that can absolutely do work out there. And it's the playing soft the entire game and letting them throw the ball underneath. Aaron's going to do that, right? I don't know that we've seen. Have we seen a team this year that just from a nickel and dime standpoint of just taking that quick stuff, the now throws, the slants, the underneath stuff?
I mean, the Packers.
But they were, the defense was able to disrupt him. It seemed like. Turn the football over, and Aaron very well may do that as well.
But the slants and stuff were there, especially for the
back. I don't think that Stingley's going to be able to just sit back, and Kamari Lassiter, for that matter, is going to be able to just sit back and survive, because I think Aaron and this group are going to take advantage of that and force them to come up and press or play cover too. I think this is a game for Derek Stingley to shine. I think this is a game for he's really going to get challenged. Yes. And it's a game for him to get up in somebody's face and not just give. I'm gonna tell you.
That's what I was gonna say. He is going to get challenged. They're going to be multiple fade routes, and I'm sure he is ready for it. And like I said, you could see it going either way. I could see him getting multiple picks on those plays, or you could see him getting beat.
Yeah, look, I just want to see it. You know, the whole, like, for whatever reason, I can't get to Green Bay. The last defensive possession when Green Bay went down and kicked the field goal, I can't get that out of my head of Derek Stingley. Four straight plays, they went to his side of the field, and four straight plays, him being soft, two of which they went to literally the receiver he was on.
We're saying soft coverage.
Soft coverage, yes. Yeah. And the other two, they went underneath. Because he was so soft, he allowed the read was blatantly obvious to the quarterback. I mean, it's like it can't be that easy when they choose to work to the side of Derek Stingley. It just simply can't. And this is one of those teams where you can't afford to do it. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that the Texans have played and will play that you can afford to get away with that stuff because they're, for whatever reason, them or the offense is not capable of taking advantage of it. This isn't one of them. This is one where they're going to take advantage of all the underneath stuff until you come up and press, and then they're going to take their shots down the field. Then they're going to take their whole shots versus cover two on the sideline. Then they're going to take their little corner routes, their inside fade routes. They're going to do those things. But first, they're going to take advantage of soft coverage. He's not going to stand back there because
he's going to get pressured. And he's,
but he's going to eliminate the pressure if you're going to give him soft coverage. He's going to get the ball out immediately. And so he's going to force the safety, the corners up, and when that happens, they're going to take them shots. Do the corners come up before that? Do the corners come up and challenge before that, make him hold the football and the pass rush gets there? Or do they force him and allow him early on to get into rhythm because he's taking that underneath stuff? We'll see. The key is here, this is a quarterback and a receiving group that will absolutely take that right now throw until you take it away from him.
Yeah, that's what, like I said, you could see it going either way of how this thing rolls through.
But your point, Ron, of like Derek, to me, let's think about this, man.
I'm just saying they've seen it on tape.
Look, when you want to talk about difference making players this year, on the offense and the defensive side of the football. I mean, sure, Tank has been a little disappointed. You're talking about your third best receiver. Dalton Schultz has been disappointed. You're talking about your third best, even on a good year, with this group, your third best pass catcher, right? I mean, you're talking about depth guys at this point in time in terms of like rankings of pass catchers on the offense. Derek Stingley is a top five, top six impact player on this football team, and it's time that he shows it. He's going to be challenged.
He's going to have the opportunities.
Your overall point of calling out Derek Stingley and saying, hey, this is a game where he's got to show up, I couldn't agree more. And, hell, he may be at the top of that list of guys that, sure, they've been good, but has he been great? Has he made a handful of game-changing type plays? This is a game when he's got to go make one.
Yeah. As Ocho says, Rodgers might not be what he once was, but he's still good enough to hit open receivers. These lesser quarterbacks that the Texans have faced couldn't. If the thought is, yes, as you said, as Ocho said, Aaron has struggled and not played to the level that he has played in his MVP years. But if guys are streaking in the middle of the field and streaking open, which we've seen this year. I think the thought that he may not connect the way that Trevor Lawrence hasn't, the way that Anthony Richardson didn't last week, hell, the way Josh Allen didn't when he had open guys running down, I would want to take a chance with that. And you brought this other player up too, Clinton. I believe Derek Stingley is going to get challenged and tested this week. I think this may be the week that Kamari Lassiter gets tested too. And that is one where we've talked about it. It's been kind of surprising, even when he's been in the game, that teams haven't just tested that out and gone that way. And this is a quarterback and receivers. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we start to see a situation where Adams keeps going to the left side of the formation, where it is him against Kamari Lassiter. Damn sure he is going to be challenged. Now, Kamari's up to it. He's probably getting himself psyched up about it. I mean, currently somewhere losing his mind about it. But I would say, Clint, I don't think Kamari Lassiter has been tested a ton.
Yeah.
And I think this is a game on both sides. I think he's going to go outside and test both of these corners. And this will be one to really see where Kamari Lassiter is, because his impact has been big. We clearly saw a difference from when he was out and when he's in from the guys behind him. But this is a week that I think he'll have to go and make some plays.
We're going to find out about Kamari Lassiter. I would have loved for him to be healthy against the Green Bay Packers to see kind of how he fared there. So we'd know a little bit more about him. And this is one of those games where, you can talk about being in the right place at the right time and, being a dog and being physical and that kind of stuff. And that's great. But when you face the better receiving corps, the better quarterback, how do you stack up against those guys? And the truth of the matter is, we haven't seen that combination versus the Texans but a couple of times this year, one of which Kamari Lassiter was out and injured. So the more we can see him against guys like Davante Adams and guys like Garrett Wilson and with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball, the more we're going to find out about him. Like you said, I think he's been great. He's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be a slot corner. So he's been tremendous, relatively speaking. We'll see how he fares against a better quarterback and a better wide receiver.
I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see these guys, because
absolutely,
I do.
Absolutely, hell yeah.
I think we see every bit of 10 fades tonight. Just because, to me, as you said, it's some kind,
you're probably right.
Because it's something that you can get off quickly, because I do think Hunter and Will Anderson are going to be pressuring, and the blitz packages are going to be pressuring, and that is going to get to Aaron. And we can see a lot of one-on-one stuff on the outside between those two corners. And I cannot wait to see how they reacted. As you said, I think you said it just now, like, we'll have to learn. We'll be able to learn to see exactly what these guys have. Text line coming through, the 5-hour energy fan line. Text line coming through. Y'all talking about Sting. Meanwhile, Sauce hasn't been an all-pro on the other side. Can we talk about the areas we can exploit and how we can actually win the game? We did in the second segment. They could. Sauce has not been himself. Now Sauce is probably dealing with a little different receiver situation than what Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter is dealing with. But,
Here's the deal. I mean, if you're listening to tell us what the hell to talk about, the conversation that we just had about Derek, like you can hear that however you'd like to hear it. The one way to hear that is that if Derek Stingley plays up to Derek Stingley's capabilities, then it can help us win a ball game. I mean, it's having a conversation about Derek Stingley Jr. and about as it pertains to winning is, if he goes out there and does his thing, then the Texans gonna have a really damn good chance of winning and continue to play great defense. It's a different challenge this week.
Yeah, and big boy thauts here, to be honest with you. Like, Sauce Gardner doesn't have a damn thing to do with what we're talking with the Derek Stingley situation. Right, yeah, they can exploit Sauce, yeah. But we're talking about Derek Stingley, right? I would say that this week – because of the situation Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter's covers, and there is more difficult, more of a challenge than what the Jets secondary is going to have to deal with. Yeah, I mean, if Kamari Lassiter was having to shut down Robert Woods types and Xavier Hutchinson types, that's a different ball game. This to me, I think you could argue, Clint, this could be the biggest challenge these corners have had to look at. Even though the Jets are 2-6, but just specifically the receivers they have with the quarterback they have and the routes that they like to run, and what you said earlier, the fearlessness of Aaron Rodgers to repeatedly throw these routes. Yep. I think there's an argument that this could be the biggest challenge that these two corners have had to deal with.
It's that simple.
That or the Packers of what they've had to deal with. So, but a big opportunity for both, and two guys that I'm gonna be absolutely watching to see if they can hold up and really make an impact, because they could. The negative is, you know, they could get beat, but the positive is, like, there could be interceptions and turnovers had. We've seen Aaron turn the ball over on these things. There could be those out there to be had to change the game. All right, coming up, not only do we got Tyler's best bets, moving it up a little bit because, hey, he did all right last night. And by the way, I was a bit on the heater last night with Aaron Judge. I just want to say that. I could have made some real.
You called
money.
It. Yep.
I could have made some. I mean, first at bat, baby. I mean, I was already in it. I told you he was swinging the bat better. Now, I didn't say that about him being able to catch. But I told you he was swinging the bat better. But Tyler's best bets, a lot to do with this game tonight. That's coming up next on The Drive.
You're getting me football horny, as Clint would say.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I know what gets Tyler football horny, and that's just the feel of gambling, the feel of placing bets, the thought of how can I win this money? How can I get it done? Best bets, moving it up today, doing a little best bets. You want to make a little money, as I see some people throughout the day on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line texting in. Tyler doing best bets today? You gonna make some money?
Hell yeah!
How you do last night, Tyler?
Not great. Went 50%, 3-for-6 on last night's best bets.
That's not bad.
So dipped down now to 55% success on the week, which is slightly below that 60% threshold we aim for. You know,
got that LeBron one with ease last night.
Yeah.
I told you that one. That felt good. All right. A big game tonight, obviously here. Thursday night football, and that includes the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. And I'm going to assume that, Tyler, you have a few best bets that are involved in this game. So let's hear it. By the way, first, can we start this off? But do you have room for Clint? Because you know he is going to want to get in on some of this.
I really don't. I tapped out on all these best bets I'm about to give you.
Is there a way that you can introduce Clint to your guy?
Yeah.
Maybe we just cut out the middle, man.
I mean, it's not a problem. It's all these damn futures I have.
Tyler, it's clear.
It's not a problem for you.
It's a problem. I think it's all week as we're sitting here on Thursday. I think every day.
No.
I'm certain every day this week, Clint has liked
something. Oh, this week, yeah.
Has liked something. And now he's 0-for-4 on chances to be able to jump in.
Sorry, man.
Tell him I ain't got it.
If I would have went 4 or 5 for 6 last night instead of 3 for 6, man, I had a little room.
Yeah, I know it. That's why I just think you need to introduce him to your guy. All right, what are your best bets tonight?
Yeah, I got a full slate for you for these Texans in Jersey taking on the Jets this evening. And if you didn't know, you will now. You can catch all the coverage for that right here on Sports Radio 610 starting around 4:30-ish today. Best bets for Texans at Jets. I'm going to list them off to you. Then Ron and Clint are going to tell you which ones they like or they don't. Texans +2.5. Been talking about this a lot. I know all of our shows have. In the Lou Payne and Pendergast right here on The Drive.
You like that one, huh?
This spread is interesting. It's curious. You wouldn't think this crappy-ass Jets team, who is fresh off a loss to the very lowly New England Patriots, you wouldn't think they'd be favored, but they are slightly 2.5. So I'm taking Texans +2.5. I'm taking the over in this game, over 42. I'm taking the Texans team over half a point in the first quarter. They just got to get a field goal, and that one would hit for you. And then I got some player props for you here. I got Stroud. I have made a lot of money this year on this bet. Stroud over rushing yards. This game, it is at 8.5. Stroud gets loose out of the pocket. He's getting chased. He can get that in one play, people. Lock that one in. Stroud over 8.5 rushing yards. Mixon rushing yards as well. Over 82.5 rushing yards for Joe Mixon. Then I got a jet prop here for you. He's really good. I've enjoyed watching him play in a few games this year. But Breece Hall for the Jets, I am on his under 30.5 receiving yards. 30.5 under for that for me. And then last one here, another Texan for you. The guy who I picked as my Mad Dog player this week, the Coug, Tank Dell. I am on the over for receptions. That is set at 4.5.
I got a lot of
what
thoughts.
What you think, boys? Give me all them thoughts. Let's win some money.
I got a lot of thoughts at this point.
Do you?
That sounds
good. Well, let's hear them. I got one.
A couple of years. The Stroud rush yard. Like I and you tell me if I'm wrong. You're the quarterback here. When they're heating him up and they're sending a lot of linebackers and pressures, and because of C.J. Stroud, they ain't got no spies on him. This, to me, is something that I've wondered, is this one of the answers to some of this pressure, is him stepping up and getting out? Is him using his legs? Because if they're sending pressure, the odds are most of the time they're probably in man and people are turned around running away from them.
Yeah.
Is this – because we've seen, as Tyler's just said, he has made some money on his rush yard bits. I do wonder, is this a potential answer for some of this pressure, especially they're sending linebackers, if he could get out and hurt him running the football a little bit?
Well, he definitely can and might, but the problem is most of the pressure that C.J. Stroud is getting is immediate pressure up the middle. Now, he's got this year, let's be honest, it's come from all over, but the pressure of late, the pressure that really disrupts him and pushes him from the pocket is the inside pressure. So the push up in the pocket and just take off straight ahead for 10, 12 yards or 4, 5, 6 yards a couple of times, that's just not happening for CJ. CJ's having to get outside the pocket and bailing either right or left, back first and then right or left.
God bless, brother.
And so he's going 10, 12 yards back to then go forward. So I think it's a bit of a gamble, which is best bets. It's what it is.
I see what you did there.
There you go. It's a bit of a gamble given the O-line protection. But yeah, Ron, I mean, bringing pressure like that, they're damn sure not going to be spying him.
Yeah.
Bringing pressure like that, if he can slip up and hit a crease up the middle, hell, he can go for a long ways. But boy, that's a slow death.
Yeah. It's just one of the just ways where he can potentially hurt. By the way, the Breece Hall thing, I don't know about that one.
I knew you were on the opposite side of that one.
I don't know about that one, man. He's got more receiving yards than Tank. I think he would be just behind Diggs and Nico Collins on this team.
Not tonight.
He's had over 133 yards. He's averaged 133 yards from scrimmage the last 3 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know how I feel about that. That man got 306 yards receiving this year.
I like two of these bets, Tyler. And I'm talking about as a best bet.
I'm sorry I can't put them in for you.
Well, I know that much. You've already made that, established that point. The Texans over half of a point in the first quarter. I do feel like, I mean, hell, all they got to do is get to the 45.
Yeah, Kime, you'll put that thing through.
Really, another.
We'll see what the wind is like.
Yeah, let's make it. Let's say it's the 40. I mean, I like that bet a lot. I mean, all I got to do is hit one field goal in the first quarter. I like that. Tyler's best bet of the day. The best bet of the day is Tank Dell over 4.5 catches.
That one out of all the ones I listed, you think is close to that L word?
If that don't hit, I'm firing Bobby Sloat.
Uh-oh, Bobby!
I mean, Tank Dell is by far the best receiver. He's your number one receiver. That's obvious, right?
Yes.
But he is by far the most explosive receiver. So when you talk about like manufacturing touches, like every screen should go to him. Every quick game should go to him. There should be several bootlegs where you misdirection, hard play action, hard run action left, you bootleg. Tank should be shoot flashing out into the flats right now.
You think the Jets are thinking that too?
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, I'm sure they are, but you can't make it easy on them just and park his ass out there like he's Nico, big body Nico or something, and is going to go make you know those kind of plays. Like, this is a game where if Bobby Slowick specifically doesn't manufacture five catches for Tank Dell, I'm quitting his ass.
Ooh.
I'm quitting.
That gives me something big to look forward to for tomorrow.
I'm done.
As a side note also, Breece Hall, same amount of catches, 4.5.
Also, side note, Breece Hall last week against the Pats, 1 catch, 9 yards.
Saying 4.5, that's for Vegas. Vegas has Tank Dell and Breece Hall, the same amount of catches.
The number one receiver for the Texans and the running back for the Jets.
That's a good point.
I just want to slide out. Yeah. There's no Nico. There's no Stephon Diggs.
Tank better catch 5 screens. You know what I mean? Not. I don't literally mean that. But if they make it that difficult to get Tank Dell the football, he better have 5 catches behind the line of scrimmage somehow.
It's reverses.
It's something. Well, reverse on a catch. But yes. He better get something.
I get the feel that the Jets are going to try really hard to try to take him away. But we'll see if they're able
follow to get me to the money, baby.
Get the ball in the Saints. All right, there's some bets there for you. There's some bets there for you for the Texans Jets tonight. Tyler's best bets. He's making some money.
I got to find a way to get this one in.
I'm telling you, man. Introduce the guy, man. By the way, Devontae Adams, 4.5.
I like that one too.
Oh, that's a little interesting. A little interesting. All right. Coming up, a player that Clint believes got to be better, and what the hell happened in the fifth inning with the Yankees yesterday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I see people writing down these best bets, Tyler. See, people, you didn't have to go and text people and tweet to text people on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line about these picks. It's some money out there. They are really daring you. Vegas is. I'm trying to forget. Devontae Adams, 4.5 catches. What's the catch here? Tank Dell, what's the catch here? 4.5 catches.
There's a lot of them that are a lot of those props, particularly for the Texans, though, like, you look at C.J. Stroud's number, total passing yards is low as hell. Dalton Schultz catches, which, look, I understand where they're getting them, because when Nico Collins and Diggs have been in a game, these other guys have been afterthoughts. But you flat out don't have a choice. Dalton Schultz, 4.5 catches, over under. Tank, 4.5 catches, under over. Devontae Adams, 4.5 catches, under over. The total yards for Mixon. The Mixon number, even after you were talking about the Jets run defense, which has not been good of late, the Joe Mixon 80 something yards being the total over under there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic.
Yeah. T Mill, real deal.
It's interesting, yeah. But there's some stuff and some money to potentially be made. All right, Clint. Speaking of CJ, for you, I know you said you watched the All-22 and you saw some things where you're like, some things I kind of missed, where you were surprised that CJ made those decisions or missed some of those throws. For you, you're eyeing him a lot in this game.
Yeah, CJ's flat out got to be better, man. At the end of the day, the Texans are who they've shown us they are through 8 games. Like, they're not going to protect the quarterback well. Right, they may get away with some things. They may have good drives, but overall, big picture, I will be shocked if this isn't one of the worst teams as it pertains to protecting your quarterback for an 18 game or however long the Texans play. I would imagine that the steep climb of C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick having to overcome the pass protection, that is just a, to me, I think it's going to be a year-long situation. There's nothing I see that tells me, boy, this is all of a sudden going to get fixed. And when that's the case, your margin for error is slim to none. Like, if Bobby Slowick dials up some plays, I don't care what you think about Bobby Slowick and whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a head coach or not, I don't, forget about that. There's no doubt about it. Last week against the Colts, that game should not have been as close as it was. Bobby Slowick dialed up plays in the first half. Receivers were open. I'm talking about open by design. I'm not talking because they created a bunch of separation. And C.J. Stroud had time, enough time, and didn't make the throws.
He's wide open, C.J.
There were times where it was cover zero, and you got your best receiver, Steph Diggs, on a slot cover guy, and you can't beat him across his face on a slant, and it is incomplete instead of a first down or a touchdown.
Diggs was open.
Like, he has got to be better this week. Because moving forward with this schedule, not just this week, but moving forward with this schedule, like the good decision stuff, the not turning the football over stuff, isn't going to be enough. Right? The continuing to be aggressive and hold the football, the continuing to call 12 pass plays out of your first 16 snaps and 10 out of your last 15 snaps before halftime, like continuing to do those things at some point in time is going to catch up with the Texans. And I think the remedy to all of it is C.J. Stroud's got to be better. I know it's not a popular thing because he's been good. He's been really good overcoming pressure. He hasn't turned the football over. And when Jordan Love turns the ball over twice and their special teams turns it over once, you're in the football game because the Texans didn't turn it over, give it back to them. But really, C.J. Stroud didn't throw interceptions. So the game is close. Like, I get that. That is a way to keep games close. But when it's all said and done, I just don't believe that moving forward on this schedule, that the thought of just continuing to be aggressive, continuing to throw the ball a ton and call passes a ton, continuing to hold the football and try to drive the ball to the mid-range game and even taking shots, That's going to get you beat. That's going to get you beat. When it all boils down to it, when you dial something up and you're getting pressure and Dalton Schultz runs up and turns around and he's 5 yards right there in your face, you got to give him the football. Right? When you get zero pressure and you got your best receiver, even now with no Diggs and no Nico Collins, you get zero pressure and it's man coverage out there. C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell have to find a way to win that. You can't not create separation and the quarterback throw it on the back hip. Like, you can't do it. You've got to be better than that. And CJ's shown the ability to be better than that. When Dalton Schultz is screaming across the field, wide ass open, and you sky mail one 10 yards over his head, like, this team just does not have the ability right now to overcome those kind of misses. If you're hitting on all cylinders, maybe down the road in the game, you can miss some of those things. But right now, the margin for error is so razor thin for this offense. And when I say margin of error, I mean like the times that your protection does stand up, right? The times that you do have the ability to get somebody open. Like, CJ's got to make those throws. And that's just the pressure that's on him right now with the offense playing the way that they're playing. I've had enough of the aggressive stuff, the aggressive conversation.
How much do you say that's on CJ and the play caller?
I think all of it is. Like, I still think they're hanging on to that mindset.
You think it's both of them?
I can't get in their heads. I can tell you this. I mean, when you watch the quarterback play, there are.
He is definitely holding it a lot longer than he did last year.
DBs are running routes for the wide receivers. He's holding the ball longer than he did before. He's passing up for sure right now stuff. You know, it's just, and I understand, he's getting hit a lot. He's under a lot of pressure. The game's moving faster for him because he's getting hit so much, and teams are moving and disguising. So I get it. It's part of it. But the reality of it is, moving forward with this team, my point is, I don't think we're going to snap our fingers and all of a sudden on a short week we're going to have better pass protection. Like, the way in which the Texans can win this ball game and the way in which they can win it and kind of run away with it and like put pressure on the Jets and force allow our defense to really eat is in the first drive, which again, the first drive, if you remember correctly, last week ended in a field goal, and it ended the third down and something. I don't know what it was, third and something. Steph Diggs, zero coverage right there, bang the slant, soft coverage, and he gets a free release and they don't connect on it. Like, you can't, that you just cannot overcome leaving points on the field like that if you're C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick. So I just don't know. The only answer is C.J.'s got to be better. And that's a big ask because he's been good.
And listen, CJ. CJ is a bad boy. He's a bad boy. There's a reason why. So he is the number one reason why people felt like, with the additions they have, the Texans got a chance to do something special this year. He is a bad boy.
Needs a timeout.
And he is, I'm not trying. Damn it. You're nasty ass. Oh, it's the ticket. What? He is a hell of a football player. All right. A hell of a football player. One of the top quarterbacks in the league. You know the term I put on players like that. Some of y'all are wanted, as I see it on the text line, Clint, ridiculous take. It's on the line. It's on the offensive coordinator. Clint, in order for CJ to be better, the offensive line has to be better.
They didn't have he could have been significantly better last week without the offensive line.
And then pot shots. Clint, didn't you throw three picks and a half under pressure? Who gives a rip? We're not even talking about
that. I threw four.
Four to
beat. What's your point?
And guess what? Got benched and never touched the field again. We're talking about CJ Stroud, though. Thanks.
But here's the thing. He is a bad.
I did do that in New York.
Yeah, you did. He is, but it was the Giants. He is a bad boy, a great football player. The next step is be a fixer. Fix it. Fix it. Patrick Mahomes, you don't have any tackles. You can get your. Fix it. Everybody's hurt. There are your receivers. Fix it. That's what the great the rules. That's what the great players are doing. Josh Allen. Hey man, you got to be better with the ball. You can't turn the ball over as much. Hey man, we're gonna take away your top receiver. 6-2, 12 touchdowns, one pick. Fix it. They're pressuring your ass. They are. It is not perfect. You are not dealing with what Jared Goff gets to deal with every week. You're not. But you're better than Jared Goff. And you're a big time player. Don't give me the damn excuses for the coordinator. He's not making every one of those decisions to throw the football where it goes to. I guarantee you, at the end against the Green Bay Packers, that is not what Bobby Slowick had in mind for you to throw the ball. I don't care what Bobby says. Bobby's gonna step up for CJ Stroud. You're a great player. Don't make those decisions. Fix it.
Is Slowick losing it?
Be the fixer. You got that type of talent. So you all can, like, there are, I'm not even going to tell you excuses. There are explanations that are fair. Make Tank better again.
Yeah.
Make Dalton Schultz better. Fix it. That's what the quarterbacks that you all believe he is, and I believe he has the talent to be. Fix it. Real quick, I did want to pass this across before we get out of here. This from Josina Anderson. However you take this, she said, I'm told the Texans explored preliminary trade interest with an NFC East team for the 2022 first-rounder Kenyon Green as at least of 2 weeks ago. There was not an immediate appetite for the deal, but apparently, according to Josina Anderson, in the last 2 weeks, they have been shopping Kenyon Green.
What if I told you?
Tough one to come out today as you're getting...
It's tough when you
be ready, Kendrick.
When you bench a guy in the middle of trying to shop him, doesn't do much for his value, does it?
Great point.
All right, what you got coming up in the four?
Man, it's
I'll run that fast.
It's good question. I want to talk about Kenyon a bit, but a little bit more on what we were somewhat just discussing with CJ Stroud. But this is a put up or shut the hell up game for the Texans. I mean, it's a 2-6 football team that's got dysfunction throughout. I mean, this is a put up or shut up. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like what I hear coming out of the organization. But all they got to do is go win a football game, and we can move on. We'll cuss and discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
In the fast paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.